This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, pod people, and welcome back to Classic Ads from Simpler Times, where in this week's episode, we're taking another look at a TV advert stolen lock, stock and barrel from the film festival circuit, this time in the United States. In this case, it's the Budweiser's Wazzup commercial, and watching it feels like you're looking up an old friend who maybe hasn't moved on in quite the same way that you have. You got married, had a baby, got promoted, got divorced, and now your eldest has a drug habit. This ad, not so much. In Budweiser country, the boys are still watching a game, having a bud, and shouting a catchphrase at each other that speaks to the universality of male bonding, because it's still 1999, where Tom Kunt is about to win a gold pencil at the One Awards, and Rod Hull is still falling off his roof with his hand up an emu's arse. I'm Steve Cook. My co-host is award-winning advertising creative and TV ad director Tony Williams. No, not that one. The other one. And you're listening to Classic Ads from Simpler Times, where you're about to be reminded of that shit party that you went to at the turn of the millennium. You know, the one where you got alcohol poisoning and didn't cop off. That party.
Stand by. Action.
Welcome back, Tones.
Hello.
The year is 1999.
Again?
Yes, actually, again.
If I had a time machine, I'd go back to 1999.
What, so you could go to a party?
Yeah, probably go to stay up past midnight without falling asleep. Or I could watch a movie and still see the end credits.
1999, former Beatle George Harrison suffers minor stab wounds.
Minor stab wounds?
How can you have minor stab wounds after being attacked by an intruder at his mansion in Oxfordshire? Harrison's attacker said that on a recent journey to the dentist, his wife had forced him to listen to a Travelling Wilburys CD. And he just snapped.
Okay. Wow.
Do you remember the have we talked about this before? The Y2K bug?
Yes.
The Millennium bug?
Yes, we have.
The panic.
That never came.
Do you remember the panic? The panic.
Of course. We all sat around waiting for the clock to tick down.
And then nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
I thought it was worth reminding ourselves that it is 1999 and this is the year that Rod Hull died. When he fell off his roof adjusting his TV aerial.
Deja vu.
MySpace was launched. Did you have a MySpace page?
I don't think I had a MySpace page. Wasn't Justin Timberlake involved in that? It was the guy from Napster. And I'm pretty sure Justin Timberlake was involved somehow.
It was a young person's thing. Barbie celebrated her 40th birthday. Bluetooth was invented.
That's plastic then.
And acclaimed TV commercial director Tom Kuntz won a bronze pencil at the One Awards for an ad for the MTV Movie Awards.
Oh.
And the ad starred Samuel L. Jackson. Anything we can get a gag out of there? Don't think so.
Let me think, no.
Apart from Tom Kuntz.
No. Rod Hull's already dead. Y2K. No, nothing.
It's not funny. 1999 wasn't funny.
No, it wasn't.
The original Wazzup TV ad aired in December of 1999.
Hey, who? What's up? Nothing, B. Just watching the game, having a bud. What's up with you? Nothing. Watching the game, having a bud.
True. And he got it. True.
What's up?
Yo, who's that?
Yo, you're picking the phone. Hello?
What's up?
What's up? Yo, where's Dookie?
Yo, Dookie!
Yo.
What's up? What's
up? Hold on. Hello?
So what's up, B?
Watching the game, having a bud.
True. True.
You say the original. Has there been any remakes?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Which I'm sure we're going to find out.
No, we're not. Oh. I lost the will to live after. After Hovis remake, just something died within me after I was forced to look at the Hovis remake. So this is a podcast about classic ads. We're not doing classic ads redux.
Oh, I didn't know we had guidelines. I see. So we're now guidelining creativity.
Unless you've watched it. Have you watched it?
What's that?
The...
Sorry, who are you?
The updated version.
No.
Let's deal with this one first.
And here you'll insert, the audio of the ad because it works very well with audio, right? Just run it.
What's up?
I remember that.
Okay, the original What's Up app ad appeared in December 1999 during Monday Night Football in the USA.
It wasn't a Super Bowl ad?
It did become a Super Bowl ad. It's a bit weird, this. So... it's a little bit like, you know, when we spoke about Flat Eric, when we did the Levi's Flat Eric thing, mm-hmm. we talked about the appropriation of art by the advertising industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit of a similar story in that the guy who directed the commercial was a bloke called Charles Stone III, and the commercial was based on a short film that he'd made himself and several of his childhood friends. And... they put it into some film festivals around the world and it became quite popular. And then somebody from DDB saw it at a film festival and thought it'd be a really good idea to pitch the ad to Budweiser.
Mm.
So there is obviously the agency creative director, who was a guy called Vinnie Warren. There was an art director called Chuck Taylor, and they sold the idea to Budweiser. But the pretty much lock, stock and barrel, it was the movie that Charles Stone and his mates made.
Mm.
So it's not like there was a concept and they pitched it. They went to the client and said, have a look at this. What do you think? And the client went, oh, okay.
Well, I suppose, oh, yeah, it is. As you say, I mentioned Flat Eric, it's exactly the same thing, isn't it? Of tagging onto a bandwagon. I don't know whether that was in the vernacular at the time, probably in certain demographics, and they were just jumping on it, or were they introduced it to the larger population. I don't know.
So Charlie Stone III says that was a...
Yeah, you can't say what's up, can you? I can't say what's up.
He says that was how himself and his friends spoke to each other. And then they turned it into this weird little movie that I can't find on the Tinder web anywhere.
Right. Well, he probably took that off and selling it through Patreon or something.
Yeah, but Charlie Stone says that him and his mates have been using that greeting for 16 years since they were at school together.
Is that like Sup Dog? Have you got Sup Dog?
No.
You know Sup Dog?
No. What's Sup Dog?
Nothing. What's up with you? Well, that was a hard word, wasn't it? So what's that? Okay. So I think it's great because it was a sort of weird joke, and it had your middle-aged white woman going into the office saying, "What's up?"
Yeah.
And everybody, it coined a brilliant phrase, isn't it? But the problem is, when anything like that happens, it falls off the bandwagon very quickly and becomes very uncool very quickly. Does it not?
Yeah, but I suppose from an advertising point of view, it's great if it enters the vernacular and kind of carries on for years and years, but it doesn't. It only has to do it really realistically for a short period of time, doesn't it? They carried on and made various versions.
Oh, I don't remember any of the other versions. Then again, why would you? Because they're just extensions of the original idea.
The one that comes to mind for me is they did a version with a bunch of elderly ladies. Exactly the same idea. Four or five old people calling each other.
But that could just be a comedy skit on
each other.
Yeah, that could be on Saturday Night Live for all it matters. Yeah. It does nothing for the brand, does it? But as I say, when you get the printed T-shirt, that says "What's up?" and people have it across the back of their bumper. You're on a very trying a very fine line between it being corny and naff, and you know, edgy and relevant. And I think it passed that point quite quickly, where people, if you did it, you were sort of seeing, so, oh my God, so last year. I know there's a radio DJ in the UK, which is his dream to bring it back. But even today, when I hear him do it, I think, oh, no, you know, it's like, you're not there. It's still a bit too soon for me. But anyhow.
No, I feel you. I think it's one of those things that if you use it today, it identifies you as a person
who put skateboards and BMXs in ads. Yeah.
In 1999.
Yeah. I'm not really your father. I'm your friend. Yeah, he's one of those, isn't he?
So Charles Stone and his mates were so embedded in this idea that DDB got them, they got Charles to direct the ad, and then they looked at 80 possible actors to replace his mates.
Well, his mates must have been either dealers or very ugly.
Well, so they looked at 80 possible actors to replace his mates in the original movie and couldn't find anybody, and went with the same with his friends who appeared in the film, with the exception of Dookie.
These have very flatteric connotations, isn't it?
Yeah. There wasn't a brief. Nobody sat down and said, "Oh, we're going to bring this brief to life." There was obviously a brief kicking around in the agency, and somebody leapt on an idea.
That's what it is. I think it's an idea and a piece of art. I don't think it's a pretty good commercial.
What do you think the brand was? What do you think they were trying to do with the brand?
Oh, they're just trying to place it within a demographic, aren't they? They're trying to make it relevant to that certain key group by thrusting it in their hand and hammering a logo onto the end of it. You know, it could have been an ad for really anything. It could have been for Mountain Dew. It could have been for, I don't know, Mylanta stomach medicine. It could have been for anything. As long as they're using it and they mentioned it once, it would work as a piece of entertaining
film. Yeah, right. It would work for anything where male bonding would be a good... Oh, thanks for that. Who is it, Tyne?
I don't know.
Who's on the phone?
That's why I hung it up, sorry.
Budweiser were working on a theory that brand loyalties are unformed.
Right.
At the age of around 21 to 27, so they wanted to try and get themselves, as you said, to get a bottle of Budweiser in somebody's hand. It's interesting how everybody associates with this ad with the Super Bowl. It did actually run in the Super Bowl. While I was researching this, it led me off into a little Super Bowl Budweiser cul-de-sac. So every year, Anheuser-Busch, so I didn't know how to pronounce it, but obviously the parent brand, buys 5 minutes of advertising time during the Super Bowl.
Which is the most expensive media in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's 10 30-second ads, and a 30-second ad, the last...
$5 million. Wow, that's a good guess.
Roughly, So they're $50 million. They just lock it away every year, and then they produce 30 to 40 ads and put them all into research and decide which of the top 10 is going to appear in a Super Bowl slot.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty edgy, isn't it, for the Super Bowl?
Not particularly edgy. I think it's got to have a certain amount of cut through, isn't it? Yeah. Or it's got to have high production values, or somebody famous has got to be in it. This ad, when they put it into research, it didn't test very well. It tested quite well with 21 to 25s, but anybody over the age of 25 didn't get it and didn't understand it.
Well, good.
So as far as I can understand, they didn't run that ad during the Super Bowl. They ran a different ad with one of the WhatsApp guys trying to cover up the fact that he was watching figure skating with his girlfriend. It's all a bit hazy.
I don't remember that.
Triple Lux, triple Falcao. Wow, he really nailed that landing.
Yo. What's up? What y'all doing?
Just watching the game, having a bud. What's up with you?
Watching the game, having a bud.
An unbelievable performance by this
guy. What game are you watching?
Yes! It doesn't get more magical than this.
They did run the ad on normal TV, and it took about 4 months before it went viral. Saturday Night Live picked it up and did a parody. After that, it went ballistic.
Huh.
So it didn't do what it was supposed to do originally.
I didn't know that.
And they were ready to let it drop, and then it went absolutely mental. And the director, Charles Stone, his anecdote is that his parents were Irish and he was living in Chicago, and he went to Ireland to visit some relatives, and he was coming, he was in Galway, and he was walking through Galway at kicking out time at the pubs, and he said the streets were full of pissed Irish blokes all shouting, each other. And he said that's when he knew that they had a hit on their hands because the ad had never aired in Ireland. Okay, so you're the creative director. What is it about this ad that connects with people?
Not all people, of course. What connects with the market is it's completely irreverent. It is nonsensical. It has that magic ingredient of creating a catchphrase without even realizing it, without the viewer realizing it, because as soon as you watched it, the next thing you want to say is, what's that, right? As we have probably 50 times already and not been upset. So
it gets really annoying after a while.
It what?
It gets really annoying.
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, it gets really annoying. Probably on the second watch of that ad, there's one that goes on quite a long time and you go, oh, I want to cut it now. Yeah, now it changes, you know, the scene just goes on a little bit long. So yeah, I mean, I think that's why it's caught on. Because it's not because, oh, wow, that looks really good. I want to drink some Bud Light now. Yeah, great. No, it doesn't. It gets forced into the vernacular, which any brand would want, I think, and it's why it works. I mean, the fact that there are some Irish guys saying it coming out of a pub years later in Ireland and the ad hasn't aired goes to show you it's more style of a substance, in my opinion.
Do you reckon it made it a kind of cooler brand?
No. No.
That would be in a kind of overarching brief, wouldn't they?
Well, I think kind of
make beer cool.
But that's, okay. Yeah, of course. That's with 21 being the legal age in America, you want to try and nail them around that age into any brand so it becomes their lifelong brand. Same with tobacco. I read a story the other day, very sweet story actually, about a boy in America who lost his father 10 years ago. And without him knowing, his dad had given his sister $20 bill, I think, in an envelope to give it to him on his 21st birthday so his dad could buy him his first beer. And of course, he got very emotional. He went to the pub and, you know, used that actual $20 bill to buy that beer. So his dad bought it for him. That's how important it is to get attached to a brand or get customers attached to your brand at the right age. Because it's an important time, you know, when you're 21, the first thing you want to do is go out and have that beer. And you probably will, through peer pressure and whatnot, you'll choose your brand then and you could stay with it for a long time. So that's a prime market, isn't it?
You're saying you don't think it made Budweiser cool?
No, I don't think it made Budweiser cool, that ad. It may have made it relevant to that demographic for a while, but I don't think it made it cool because then it goes off and does something completely different, in my opinion. But I'm not in that marketplace to see what else supported them.
I suppose, so the WhatsApp catchphrase, I've got a list of TV shows that somehow managed to shoehorn it into a script. That phrase, not the beer, not the brand, but the phrase, has been in two episodes of The Simpsons and episodes of The Friends. It was in the pilot episode of the US version of The Office. It's been in How I Met Your Mother. And recently it cropped up in the Netflix series, The Santa Clarita Diet, which stars Drew Barrymore and Timothy Olyphant. It was also in the movie Ant-Man and the Wasp. So it's entered popular culture to a certain extent, although apparently in the episode of Friends, Chandler is mocked for using the phrase.
Mm. That's what I mean. It became very uncool, didn't it, very quickly?
They sold a shitload of beer, though. Bob Scarpelli, who's DDB's chief creative officer, bearing in mind the backstory, they basically ripped off a movie, turned it into an ad.
Mm.
Bob Scarpelli took every bit of credit that they possibly could for doing this and claimed to have pioneered the concept of virality. Mm. They called it talk value, but really it's taking stuff viral. DDB were calling it talk value, and they claimed to have invented it to the extent that they trademarked the phrase talk value. DDB are saying that they invented the idea of viral and that this ad was the first viral ad.
And have we heard the phrase talk value used again? And any
sense I haven't.
That we need to report?
You? I know.
So what was it? It was stopping the agencies, you know, pretty much well known for creating new ideas, using another agency's phrase in a pitch document or such.
That's
like.
Right.
I'm going to trademark speak value, voice value.
And we're specifically using it in the context of this ad that we ripped off from a film.
Yeah, exactly.
And then got the director of the film to direct the ad for us.
I'd say it was with that DDB.
Yeah. Is that the first ad you've ever seen that had an all-black cast?
No, that was that New Zealand one for the rugby. don't know, probably, yeah. I didn't think about it, to be honest, maybe.
Bit of talk on the internet about how it's perceived to be that one of the first ads that had an all-black cast but wasn't pitching a product at a specific demographic.
Yeah, possibly.
Apparently, Charlie, our boy Charlie, the director, offered the client the opportunity to have a multicultural cast.
Mm.
And he also offered the client the opportunity to change the word true to right. So true apparently is a an Afro-American kind of slang term.
Is it?
And so Charles offered Budweiser the opportunity to have a multicultural cast and to change the word true to right. And the client, God bless him, said, no, we bought your idea. We want you to carry out your idea as originally conceived.
Plus the fact we've researched both and true has worked out a lot better. So, yeah.
All right, give me some scores on the Doors.
Okay, branding, for me, very low, I'm afraid, because of the point we said before. You could slot in any product in their hand. They are, you know, true advertising mannequins. I'd give it a 2. True. What's next? Creative?
Harsh. So, so you don't think that after, what is it, 1999, 21 years later, if somebody came to you and said, we're up, you wouldn't associate that with the brand?
I would associate it immediately with that ad. How many people could recall the brand from that ad? I'm not sure.
Right.
Really? I really don't.
I feel like we need to get like some kind of research thing happening here.
But whenever we give a score you don't agree with, we suddenly have to get research in a true sense. True advertising sense. Well, I take your point. I am listening, but I think we definitely need to research
on
that.
Sorry, I went off suit on you there.
Yeah.
Okay. 2. You gave it a 2. Casting.
It's got to be, well, it's his friends. I like the story that they tested, you know, 80 different people. He ended up using his friends. I think that's got to be a 4.9. Because you couldn't imagine it being anyone else, could you?
Craft. As a director, is there a lot of craft in that ad?
There is. Like, yeah, the fact that there was a keeps hanging until the point where you just want it to cut off and it goes that few frames now. So I think that's been very well sort of put together. It's always hard to direct your friends as well. You know, it's one thing having them in a short film when there's no real pressure, but another when you're doing it for a brand and your friends performing well. So I think directing and handling those, that was good. That's got to be a 4.6. Now we just have to wait the 5 minutes for you to add those up.
Creativity.
Oh, no, it's creativity.
How creative is that?
That's very good. I think that's a 4.92, as in 4.9 also. Very good.
Okay.
I know, it's just branding lets it down because it could be anything. So, you know, generally, ask the man on the street.
Hello.
You know, what that ad was for.
Oh, what's up? I love that. What's that? I don't know. What's it meant to do?
You know, possibly.
Oh, don't do that. I can't concentrate.
Sorry.
I can't add them up.
Okay, add them up then. Meanwhile.
That's coming at 16.4. That feels wrong. I don't think that's right.
See, again, he's just not happy with the results.
No, that's right. 16.4.
See, sometimes you can't refute the numbers, my friend.
16.4 points. That feels a bit low for me. For that.
Well, look, the thing that let it down is branding. And I'm sorry, but if it's a, you know, we're looking at these with hindsight, of course. If it is an ad, which is a film, which has been taken and appropriated by just literally, they've got a bottle in the hand. And I know he says, hey, what's that you say? Nothing, just having a bird watching the game. And then he says it at the end. Nothing. You could replace it with any product. There's nothing there to make it Budweiser except for making it Budweiser, if that makes sense. So I'm sorry you don't like the results.
Okay, cool. You're the expert.
Well, no, I'm an expert in my own opinion. But that's what I think. I mean, I think it's great. It's a great film. But I'll be really interested if you ask the next 5 people you meet what the ad was for.
Okay.
I'll be very curious.
I'll do that.
You can't like everything you do. I want to hear what... You can't just because you don't like the results, Mr. Dirty Agency. Well, I was going to call you a name of an agency person, and I won't, unless you black it out. Right? there better be a beep over that.
My feeling was that the recall on that, and I couldn't find any research on the recall.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Oh, look, the fact that it was in episodes of The Simpsons and Friends and Now I Met Your Mother and The Office says something about that phrase entering the vernacular, which means that there must be some attachment between that phrase and the brand. There has to be.
Mm.
I got a quote from the head honcho at Budweiser. August Bush, whatever we're calling him. What are we calling him? Anheuser-Busch. August Bush the 4th, who's obviously the family still own the brand.
Yeah.
He said, in our lifetimes, we will never see so much business value created by a single idea.
Mm.
Apparently, their beer sales went up 2.8% in 2000, which is doesn't sound very much, but I guess in the context of the size of the market, it's a huge amount of beer.
True. Did you like that? I forgot the true bit. Rather than ever go with that, I'm going to try and bring back
true.
Brilliant. It's going to be beer.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.